Dear participants, welcome to the municipal level of the All Russia School Olympiad. We shall start with the listening tasks. Task 1. Listen to Jehoon, a South Korean sports fan, talking with an interviewer about his favorites. Make the statements true, false, or not stated. You will hear the text twice. Now you have 20 seconds to read the statements. Now we are ready to start.
Not so many years ago, one of the greatest role models for boys in South Korea was David Beckham, the English footballer. Let's face it, Beckham's name was known everywhere, so that wasn't a huge surprise. We wanted to find out whether European football was still so attractive for teens in Asia. I spoke to Jehoon, a South Korean teenager who is mad about football. Jehoon, you support a British football club, don't you?
Yes, I do. I support Arsenal.
Why don't you support a Korean club?
Well, I do. I go to local matches and support my town club, but that isn't international. It's much more exciting watching international football, like the World Cup.
So you supported South Korea in the World Cup then?
Well, yes, but we came out quite early, so then I wanted Germany to win in the World Cup.
Why is that?
Well, I thought they were the best team, and they had Özil.
Özil?
Yes, Özil plays for Germany as he was born there, but he is at Arsenal at the moment. He's fantastic. I think he's the best footballer in the world.
But he plays on the other side of the world from where you live.
That doesn't matter. His matches for Arsenal are often late at night here, but we have satellite TV, so I can watch them live if it isn't school next day. Or I can watch them online the next day.
Good point. What about feeling part of a fan community, though?
Community?
You know, a group.
Oh, no problem. A lot of us here in South Korea watch Arsenal. Most of the boys in my school do. So we watch matches together, and we go and buy Arsenal shirts together, that kind of thing. But we aren't alone here. Not now. We join in on forums. You know, when the matches are on or just after, we can have live chats with fans from all over the world. The world is a very small place now.
Indeed. And it's obviously doing your English good.
Yes, thank you. But it isn't only the fans. We can follow Özil on Facebook and Twitter so we know what he's doing and how he feels. It's a great time to be a fan.
Now you will hear the text again.
Not so many years ago, one of the greatest role models for boys in South Korea was David Beckham, the English footballer. Let's face it, Beckham's name was known everywhere, so that wasn't a huge surprise. We wanted to find out whether European football was still so attractive for teens in Asia. I spoke to Jehoon, a South Korean teenager who is mad about football. Jehoon, you support a British football club, don't you?
Yes, I do. I support Arsenal.
Why don't you support a Korean club?
Well, I do. I go to local matches and support my town club, but that isn't international. It's much more exciting watching international football, like the World Cup.
So you supported South Korea in the World Cup then?
Well, yes, but we came out quite early, so then I wanted Germany to win in the World Cup.
Why is that?
Well, I thought they were the best team, and they had Özil.
Özil?
Yes, Özil plays for Germany as he was born there, but he is at Arsenal at the moment. He's fantastic. I think he's the best footballer in the world.
But he plays on the other side of the world from where you live.
That doesn't matter. His matches for Arsenal are often late at night here, but we have satellite TV, so I can watch them live if it isn't school next day. Or I can watch them online the next day.
Good point. What about feeling part of a fan community, though?
Community?
You know, a group.
Oh, no problem. A lot of us here in South Korea watch Arsenal. Most of the boys in my school do. So we watch matches together, and we go and buy Arsenal shirts together, that kind of thing. But we aren't alone here. Not now. We join in on forums. You know, when the matches are on or just after, we can have live chats with fans from all over the world. The world is a very small place now.
Indeed. And it's obviously doing your English good.
Yes, thank you. But it isn't only the fans. We can follow Özil on Facebook and Twitter so we know what he's doing and how he feels. It's a great time to be a fan.
This is the end of task one. Now you have 20 seconds to check your answers. Now we are ready for task two. Task 2. Listen to an interview about the origin of basketball. While listening, complete the table with some facts about the invention of basketball. You should write either a word or a date or a number. You will hear the text twice. Use numbers for dates. You have 20 seconds to study the information in the table. Now we are ready to start.
Hello and welcome to another program in our series about the origin of different popular sports. Today, our expert, Anna Phillips, is going to tell us about the origin of an incredibly popular sport, basketball. Anna, what can you tell us about the beginnings of basketball?
Well, in comparison with football, rugby or tennis, basketball is quite a modern game because it was only invented in 1891.
Invented?
Yes. The man who invented it was James Naismith. Naismith, who was born in Canada, was working at a YMCA school. He was a PE teacher. His director gave him 14 days to invent a new indoor sport. It needed to be a sport which would keep students fit, but that wouldn't be aggressive or violent. That's why Naismith made basketball a non-contact sport.
So, was this in Canada?
No, Naismith was born in Canada, but he was working in the US in Springfield in Massachusetts, which is really cold in the winter. That's why it had to be an indoor sport.
What did they use for baskets?
They had fruit baskets, peach baskets. Of course, the problem was that when the ball went into the basket, they needed to stop the match. Somebody came with a ladder, climbed up and got the ball out of the basket. The game stopped for a few minutes after each basket. In fact, it was only in 1906 that they finally changed to the modern nets that we have today.
Has the game changed a lot since its invention in 1891?
Many of today's rules are the same as the original rules, which Naismith wrote. There were 13 in total. But in the original rules, you couldn't bounce the ball, you could only pass it. Naismith had 18 students in his class, so originally he had 9 people in each team, not 5 like there are now. His students, who were all boys, used a football at first. Later, they made a special ball for the new sport. Actually, at one moment, somebody wanted to call the sport Naismith Ball, but Naismith didn't like the idea.
How long were matches?
In Naismith's original 13 rules, a match had 2 halves. Each half was 15 minutes long, with a 5-minute break between them. Oh, and you only got 1 point for each basket you scored, not 2 like today. In fact, the final score in the first match was only 1-0.
Well, that doesn't sound very exciting. Nowadays, top teams can score 100 points. So, was basketball immediately popular?
Naismith actually admitted that the first time he explained the new game to his class, they weren't very excited by it. But the game was popular, and it soon became popular with other YMCA centres too. And after that, universities started playing it too. Around that time, they changed the rules to have 5 players in each team.
Did Naismith live to see basketball become one of the most popular sports in the world?
Yes. In 1936, when Naismith was 75 years old, basketball officially became part of the Olympic Games. An organisation collected money so that Naismith could go to Berlin, where the Games took place that year. That was a great moment for Naismith, to see people from countries all over the world playing the sport that he'd invented.
I can imagine.
But the interesting thing is that Naismith wasn't really interested in competition, in winning or being the best. He just wanted to invent a sport that people would enjoy, and above all, one that would help to keep them fit and healthy.
Well, he certainly did that. Thanks for the information, Anna.
Now you will hear the text again.
Hello and welcome to another program in our series about the origin of different popular sports. Today, our expert, Anna Phillips, is going to tell us about the origin of an incredibly popular sport, basketball. Anna, what can you tell us about the beginnings of basketball?
Well, in comparison with football, rugby or tennis, basketball is quite a modern game because it was only invented in 1891.
Invented?
Yes. The man who invented it was James Naismith. Naismith, who was born in Canada, was working at a YMCA school. He was a PE teacher. His director gave him 14 days to invent a new indoor sport. It needed to be a sport which would keep students fit, but that wouldn't be aggressive or violent. That's why Naismith made basketball a non-contact sport.
So, was this in Canada?
No, Naismith was born in Canada, but he was working in the US in Springfield in Massachusetts, which is really cold in the winter. That's why it had to be an indoor sport.
What did they use for baskets?
They had fruit baskets. Peach baskets. Of course, the problem was that when the ball went into the basket, they needed to stop the match. Somebody came with a ladder, climbed up and got the ball out of the basket. The game stopped for a few minutes after each basket. In fact, it was only in 1906 that they finally changed to the modern nets that we have today.
Has the game changed a lot since its invention in 1891?
Many of today's rules are the same as the original rules, which Naismith wrote. There were 13 in total. But in the original rules, you couldn't bounce the ball, you could only pass it. Naismith had 18 students in his class, so originally he had 9 people in each team, not 5 like there are now. His students, who were all boys, used a football at first. Later, they made a special ball for the new sport. Actually, at one moment, somebody wanted to call the sport Naismith Ball, but Naismith didn't like the idea.
Oh. How long were matches?
In Naismith's original 13 rules, a match had two halves. Each half was 15 minutes long, with a 5-minute break between them. Oh, and you only got 1 point for each basket you scored, not two like today. In fact, the final score in the first match was only 1-0. Well,
that doesn't sound very exciting. Nowadays, top teams can score 100 points. So, was basketball immediately popular?
Naismith actually admitted that the first time he explained the new game to his class, they weren't very excited by it. But the game was popular, and it soon became popular with other YMCA centres too. And after that, universities started playing it too. Around that time, they changed the rules to have 5 players in each team.
Did Naismith live to see basketball become one of the most popular sports in the world?
Yes. In 1936, when Naismith was 75 years old, basketball officially became part of the Olympic Games. An organisation collected money so that Naismith could go to Berlin where the Games took place that year. That was a great moment for Naismith, to see people from countries all over the world playing the sport that he'd invented.
I can imagine.
But the interesting thing is that Naismith wasn't really interested in competition, in winning or being the best. He just wanted to invent a sport that people would enjoy, and above all, one that would help to keep them fit and healthy.
Well, he certainly did that. Thanks for the information, Anna.
This is the end of task 2. You have now 15 seconds to check your answers and transfer them into your answer sheet. This is the end of the listening task. Remember that you have to transfer your answers into the answer sheet. Good luck with the reading, use of English, writing, and speaking task.